says, never forget to trust the Lord. That's a nice little saying. You know, I mean, find that maybe in your Sword of the Lord paper or the fundamental paper. I am excited for whatever new adventure that our Heavenly Father has in store for us. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, it is recognition of Jesus' sacrifice and how he spilled his blood for salvation of humanity. We are encouraged to meditate on the profound sacrifice of Jesus pouring out his blood for humanity. That all sounds pretty good, right? Well, I'm pulling it out of context. Let me read you the context. This is real important here. Happy summer. Hope you and pray you're doing well, finding some inward solace, relaxation, creativity, socializing during not so normal times. No matter where you spend these past few weeks, you most likely have been feeling the heat, both in temperature and perhaps continued changes to our lifestyle. Despite all that is going on, I hope that you are attempting to keep cool and are able to enjoy the long golden days. In the truth and beauty of the amazing Roman Catholic Church, there grew over time specific devotions that are assigned to each month of the year. The month of June became associated with the Sacred Heart of Jesus because that feast of the Sacred Heart always falls within that month. The month of July is dedicated to the precious blood. Sounds good in the Lord right there, you know? Moreover, this blood is made present through the gift of the Eucharist. See that there? See how they got some truth mixed in with error? Get that, folks, you know? See how you pull out there? Through the blood, the gift of the Eucharist, and it's something we can consume at Mass along with the body of Christ under the appearance of bread and wine. And then here it is. We are encouraged with the meditative process. See that there? See, this is real important. Why? You know, I was raised Catholic. You talk to Catholic, they could sound like they have some Bible terms, right? But, you know, you got to look what they're getting at here, you know. The month of August is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary because of World War II, Pope Pius IV, and Our Lady of Fatima was shown. The world was in turmoil in 1940. And they're part of the deal if you look at history. And in 1942, Pope Pius responded to the request of Our Lady of Fatima and consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on May 31st, 1942. That's Halloween, you know. May 31st, amen? Halloween. That's something about that, those dates there, you know. That's no accident, that, you know. When the war continued, Pope Pius again turned to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on May 4, 44, and Pope Pius established the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hey, I have Catholic people. I say, hey, you guys are idolaters, and they deny it. They don't even know what they believe, you know? Feast of Assumption. He did this so that through her intercession, the world may obtain peace among nations, freedom for the church, the conversion of sinners, the love and purity and patience of virtue. There's really, you can have personal peace here, obviously, through the Lord, but world peace ain't really going to come. We have peaceful times, and we like that, obviously, if we live in a community, peaceful time, but we have, the Lord brought us personal peace through forgiveness of sins. World peace ain't coming to the Lord returns. May the Sacred Heart of Jesus be adored, glorified, and loved, and preserved throughout the world, now and forever. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Saint Jude, worker of miracles, pray for us. Saint Jude, helper of hopeless, pray for us. Hey, that's Saint Jude couldn't do nothing for you. Nothing at all, you know? And here's her closing prayer. Picture Mary and, you know, little baby Jesus, you know? You know, prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is what we want you to do. These people, honestly, I never look at the people sometimes. They don't know. They're kind of deceived. The system is bad. The Lord will deal with them in Revelation. You can see. Prayer to the Blessed Mary. O most beautiful flower of Mount Carmel, fruitful vine is the splendor of heaven. Blessed mother of the Son of God. I'm putting it in the emphasis that they are God, you know. Immaculate Virgin, assist me in my necessity. O star of the sea. What's the star of the sea in the Bible? Probably could be, might be that devil up there, you know, this falling star, the sea up there in the great deep, whatever, you know. They're praying to a devil here. Help me and show herein. Ye are my mother, O Mary, mother, mother of God, queen of heaven and earth. I humbly beseech you by the bottom of my heart, blah, 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 blah. Say this two, three times, I don't even go into it. But that, see what I'm saying? I mean, you can plant a blue in the face, ain't never going to help you. And I'm kind of aggravated because I was raised Catholic. I remember as a kid, I had a little thing. I still have it somewhere. To show you what I used to do. I would pray, my mother, my confidence. I get like 286 days off in purgatory. Seriously. I'm just counting, man. I mean, I'm not kidding. You went to, boy, man, people believe some, you know what though? People believe some dumb things. I'm a kid. I'm like, okay, I said this a bunch of times. How much time? Maybe I'm overdoing it. You know, I'm my little kid, I'm thinking of that, whatever. Hey, maybe a little funny here, you know what though? But it's sad. I mean, it's a sad thing that folks literally are hoping in this, in religion. And it feels good because you're repeating these things. And what happened is, hey, they feel like they're self-pleasing. And then you're trying to contest that a little bit and show them the scripture. Then it can sometimes get a little feisty about it, you know. So that's why, you know, it's good to know these things, what people believe, what you believe, what the Word of God says, so we can be bold about those things, you know. Okay, this little commercial, try to show you what's out there. I get this paper in the mail still from somewhere, and I can see what's out there, and they haven't changed one bit. They changed their terminology a little bit. They put some Bible terminology in there, you know. Oh, I believe in that. Oh, I believe in that. I believe in that. But then they're you know, it's a mixture. That's what I call it a mystery. It's a mixture of Babylonian pagan truth and the Word of God. It's a mixture. You know, mystery is called Mystery of Babylon, you know. You know, mystery, you know, a Babylon. So the Lord will straighten all that out. Okay. We're going to continue on this stung by bees. Bees, stung by bees. And we set a foundation last time. And now I like application. You want doctrine, Brother Hoffman, Brother Frank. You know, I like doctrine. You know what though? I like the application, the understanding, the relationship. That's action. You know, you have all the doctrine in the world. You're probably for the doctrine, and you have it all here. But if you don't actually apply it, understand it, it's just, it's good to have, but like, it's just sitting there. Remember the tools I showed you about, taking the tools, applying, getting to work. You know what I mean? Get to work with them, whatever. You know, God gave them to be used. And so when I say stung by bees, you know, these are things that God wants you to do. And everything has an application to these things. There's always an application to God's word. And we're all individuals. What my gifts or talents are may not be yours. You know, can't everyone do what I'm going to do? But the Lord asked him to use these things. The very first thing Paul said when he got saved, he says, Lord, what would ye have me to do? Now, that's a good prayer. Amen? Lord, what would you have me to do? Right? I mean, if you ask the Lord that, I guarantee you, he'd give you something to do. I mean, you ask. Okay, so that's, understanding some of these things here will help you understand whether those things you're doing is biblically sound. We covered fruitful, first member of the bees found in Genesis is be fruitful. God wants you fruitful, without a doubt. I mean, no doubt about it. You know, he didn't save us to sit in a corner. He saved us to be fruitful, understanding the word of God and multiplying. Be courageous, be mindful. Okay, we talk about being merciful and all those things. We're going to tie them all together here. I don't know if I covered last time here in Isaiah 45:22, it says, the exalting Lord Jesus Christ says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. Now, I understand Charles Spurgeon, when he heard this, was saved. But you know what, though? It's an Old Testament passage. but be saved. And you know what he's doing? All the ends of the earth. I think there's a good charge and witnessing. You know why? Because God does want all the world to know ends of the earth. You know, how says it says there in Peter, it says God is not, no, it says in my mind here, be not deceived, God is not mocked. No, that's not the one. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, right? You know, and so there you have a good charge for understanding that God wants all the earth to be saved. So that there's for be mindful as we walk around. You know what though? Hey, keep some tracks in your pocket all the time. You know, some, you know, I call them TNT tracks and New Testament. See, TNT tracks and New Testament. Always have TNT ready with you, you know. Always be ready to give a hope that lie within you, you know. The truth and the hope that lie within you. Always be ready. So the Lord be saved all the ends of the earth. That's our commission. You know, it was Old Testament, but here we have it applied to New Testament. So very important you always remember that, because the Lord puts you in front of somebody, there may be a reason for that. Proverbs 8:5 says, O simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. There it is again. I built the foundation earlier on about understanding. Be understanding heart. It's the understanding of the scripture, the understanding of the principles of God's words, where you now take them and apply an action. Y'all young folks, sometimes you get a lot of zeal, but not a lot of knowledge. What happens is you get knowledge, sometimes your zeal gets less. It's like, some young folks here, a few young people here, but generally, when you first find your sweetheart, you're all excited about all that, you know, everywhere you go, talk about your sweetheart, can't stop talking about her, right, you know, and then get married on, she's still your sweetheart, everything, but you know, we get kind of used to the things, you know. Same thing about salvation. You know, you trust the Lord, and it's pretty exciting telling people, depending what age you were when you got saved, but you're still saved. But the Lord, you know, you build upon that. You build upon that, and you have experience. You go, well, look what the Lord's done for me. And you have a history behind it. You know, oh, you only saved a few weeks, you know, God saved you, but though you get a period of time, you have a history, and it was called a testimony, what the Lord's done for you. So that's an understanding God gives you. So you want to make sure you have an understanding heart of these things. And now, I like the law first mentioned. When you find a word first mentioned, no doubt about it, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, that's a good principle. It does have meanings on those things. There's no question about it. When God puts something in motion and sets his words, there's meaning behind it. And so the first word mentioned in the New Testament, the first B-E word, it's Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount to Israel. Understand, right, the volume of the word, this is the Israel. And some of it has to do with the kingdom. I get all that. But there are principles, no doubt, the believer can use. That's just rightly dividing it into word. You know, the people are so rightly divided. It's Israel. Nothing applies. But notice principles, without a doubt, we can use here. And it says in Matthew 5:40, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. And I understand he's speaking of the Jews, but that word perfect is a good word, because perfect is moral excellence in this context. So when you see that word, now obviously no one's perfect. We're not perfect. We sin every day. But you know what though? God wants us to be as close as we can to the Lord Jesus Christ. Webster determines this word as finished, complete, not defective, having all that is required in its nature and kind. What does that have, nature and kind? The Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So if the Christ is in us, we have the Word, we can be perfect. We can thrive for that perfectionist, whatever, you know. So that's, you know, that's be perfect. I remember that. Hey, God wants me to be perfect. And I have the Holy Spirit leading me. I got the Word of God. I got knowledge. So I can thrive for that. It's Bible calls us, and Webster, it's a perfect statue, a perfect likeness, a perfect work, a perfect system, a perfect book. You see that? So we can thrive for that. We're supposed to be the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that person emulates or represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's we should remember that all times. I mean, that's a good bee to be stung by, stung by that bee. Be perfect book, understanding those things. That's why I like the words God gives you. I don't like the word share, I don't like that word, because that share is not found in the scripture. With this one time, I think that word share is an instrument for cutting, I think, in the Old Testament, I like the word give. It's like, hey, give something. When you share something, maybe, kind of leave something out of it. Give it somebody. God gave his back to the spider. God gave his blood. Give something, the whole thing back, So it's good having words to use that God uses. In Matthew 10:16, it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now that's interesting there. So God is a lot of times will use animals or characters, animals, and like them to how they work. That's why it's good to sometimes study animals to kind of see how they work. I think one thing about Bill Gothard, he has a book, Character Sketches. He was a good artist. And he put the characters of animals in Scripture and show them how they would work. By studying those animals, I'll cover in a minute with these men's here, you can see how they act. And God said, you should be like under them. What's interesting is, if we want to watch something very interesting, if you have time, I read a book, it's called Taming the Tiger. Everyone heard that book, Taming the Tiger? What it is, it's actually a testimony of a guy named Tony Anthony. I know two first names, Tony Anthony, I think it's, you probably Google Tony Anthony. And what it is, it's a testimony of his salvation. And he was born in England, and I think he had, his mother was Chinese, and his dad was, or his dad was Chinese, mom was American. They got married somewhere, I think, in the war, and they shipped him out to China, and to be raised by his grandmother, to be a kind of one of these kung fu guys. And if you listen to it real carefully, half the book of his life of training, how they trained him about animals, how a snake would work, and how you would take that into the craft, his craft of kung fu. He became a big kung fu artist. I became a bodyguard, an unsaved guy, but the whole time was using the animals, how they study the animals. Even unsaved world would do this, studying the animals, how to react. And he became a super kung fu guy, and because he was in a kind of a gray area, I ended up in jail in Cyprus in Greek, and some really tough things happened. He got saved in jail. Some witnessed to him in jail. He got saved, and he got out and became like an evangelist. Now, he's not in our camp, I'd say, our Bible in the camp, but definitely he's a believed guy, and he won several competitions, and he went through even how, after he got saved, how a lot of satanic influence in the they call it the Ching. It's like a different spirit, but they study the animals. Very interesting. If you have time, I have the book on audio, or read it. It's a very good testimony. It's kind of interesting because you think, oh, he got saved. Oh, wonderful, great. It's a good testimony. But then the other third of the book is what happened after he got saved. Another part is growing. I don't want to tell you what it is because it's pretty exciting. I mean, I gave that tape to my brother, Dan, a couple folks. It's like 14, 15 hours. I go, Dan, once you watch it and you put it down, listen to it. Yeah. And I could put it down. Because, sometimes it's a good story, well-written. But point being is they use these animals here to teach things about folks. So in saying that, it says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Well, serpents appear 13 times in the Bible. Mostly they're negative. But by studying animals, you see how they are. If you study the serpents, generally they stay out of the way and not provoked. And there are some good things about that. I mean, sometimes you go out and minister, you're looking for a fight. That's not the spot you want to be in. Some people go out tree preaching. They got a toothbrush in their pocket. And why? They want some trouble. Say, look what I did. You know, I'm going to go to jail. You know, let me tell you something. In our country here, I've been on the street a long time. Very, very rarely do I have trouble. I mean, you have to ask for it. I mean, I have had some little things here and there. But you know what, though? If you just use some of these things, these, you know, being gentle, you'll avoid 99% of the problems. You look at the study of doves, of gentleness and so forth. You know, I remember a police officer came to us one time, and he was very mad. We were there, and my brother was preaching, and he was right in my brother's face trying to intimidate him. My brother didn't put down anything. He looked for me. So he kind of went away, and then the police officer was trying to move a generator out of the way, and we all went over there to help the same guy out. And but what a different spirit he had. But hey, let's help this guy out. So we went over there to help him move this generator. And what though? You see how the spirit thing settled down. So you got to use that wisdom, animals, gentleness. You know, these are things that you grow on, and it'll be important for your life. Now, I covered Merciful last time. Did anyone go on and look at that story of Amber Geyer? Anybody? Look at that thing. That I talk about being merciful, all part of this year. She was, being merciful is really an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd be like it. When you see how merciful he was to you and is to you, you emulate that. You'd be like him. See, be, and you'll be merciful. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. You can, many times the Lord was merciful to you. Think about that. Right? Yeah. Amen? And I'll tell you what, look at this little story here. I mentioned I was a Gideon for many years. I still am a Gideon. Pay my due. But everyone was afraid of Chicago. This is going back in 20 years ago. Today, it's still bad. I think 100 people got killed last four shot. It's insanity. But even 20 years ago, you know, the news media didn't promote that hype, whatever. But they were still pretty bad. And I looked as the scripture coordinator. I saw there were 99 schools in Chicago, and all the camps, the Gideons, there's one camp in Chicago. They stay away from Chicago. All the camps are nice suburbs where there's nice things, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm like, hey, folks, we need to go to Chicago and give out Bibles to those schools. They're kind of, kind of afraid. And I see how mercy the Lord was to me. So this is how you apply some of these principles. So I got the 99 schools out there, and I took, I think, like 30 camps. I said, each camp would do 3 schools a year. Just come to Chicago. We'll provide the scriptures for you and just give them out. And I said, just, you know, we did 3, and I went to many of the distributions. Back then, this is back in the early 2000s, they had, even the high schools, metal detectors. They were still, metal detectors, and they, you know, walk-in metal detectors out. The police were always outside. They didn't want people congregating, kept moving them on. You know, they were glad we were there with scripture, but I mean, there were some, you know, we park in there, but it's by being mercy to get the word of God out. And we were giving away, I think, 40 and 50,000 Bibles per year. It's by getting, see, but it's being, having a vision, seeing the Lord wanted to use, being merciful, not being fearful, these principles here. And then they're still doing that to this day, 20 years later, going out Bibles to the schools in Chicago. So it's very important, you do that. So that's application of some of these things. Very important that you take application on these things. Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove that is the good and acceptable and perfect. See that word perfect there again? See that? See, you know, see how it's a process? You may do things that are good, believer. You know, but and they're good. You're not working in a bar. You're not, you know, doing things in a disco out there. And then, you know, and then it's acceptable, but you want to be in God's perfect will. That's the tough thing to say. Because I'm doing this because it suits me, it's good. But being God's perfect will is a fine line between good, acceptable, and now you're just where God wants you. Sometimes it's a scary thing to think of that. Because, you know, you're thinking, God want me over here in Africa with some poisonous snakes. He probably won't want that. But your mind, you're thinking about that kind of stuff, you know? The perfect will of God. Here we have the Lord asking us to conform our minds, right? We see, let's go to Romans 12:1. And if we go to Romans 12:1, the verse before, that's the thing about the scripture. If you look at the verse above it, here it is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. You see that? That motivation factor? Be merciful. See that, folks? See, it's all kind of tied together. By the mercies of God, that he present your bodies, that's the easy thing to do, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then here it says, be not conformed to the world. Here you have, without a doubt, there's always a division in Scripture. One thing this Bible is full of is divisions and separations. The complete opposite of what the world wants. All coming together. No, there's a separate right here. You know, without a doubt. Stages of growth are in the mind. Hopefully, you see yourself growing. Things this world will grow strangely dim. As you grow spiritually, what happens? Things that, you know, if you're saved, you may still like, you know, lemonade and iced tea and football. Or you're unsaved, you may still like that when you're saved. But you know what, though? You'll see the worldly things kind of, right, just fade away. Things of this world will grow strangely dim. I like to fish and hunt before I was lost. I still like to fish and hunt. I just don't make it like, you know, you're consumed with it or become an idol. Same thing. Your direction just changes. You know, what would the Lord want me to do? Whatever, you know. So that's important. That's that growing. It's a being a perfect. It's being transformed. And always start with your mind. Because everything comes in the mind. And you think about it. And then what happens? And then what happens? Scary thing is it goes to the heart. Once it's a very dangerous spot between the mind and the heart. And then from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. You see that? So it's you see it, mind, heart. That's why you have your heart bright and pure. So if things come to your mind, you shouldn't see. Well, you stop right away. But what happens is you're thinking about it. That's a very dangerous spot to be in. You're thinking things you shouldn't think of, right? And then it goes in the heart. You're dwelling on it. And that's the very, very fine line there of getting being deceived yourself. Okay, there's a good one here, the time on this one here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, oh, hang on a minute. Let's pick up here. 1 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. Now, this is Paul talking, all right, and some people say, oh, you're following a man. Well, no, I'm not wait a minute here. I mean, there's nothing wrong with following a man as long as that person is following the Lord, right? I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you got to be careful here, but the Lord's telling you here. And you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a real good chapter here. You know, notice how Corinthians, the church, all the trouble. The Corinth. You know, that's why that book was written about Corinthians. There were troubles there, and there's troubles today. It's a good place to spend a lot of time, and a lot of churches don't like to spend time in Corinthians because there are a lot of troubles there. But we have troubles. Churches have troubles. And so that's where a lot of time Paul spent, a couple books here. And if you look at this verse 16, it says, be followers of me, but look at the verses above it. Look at some of the characteristics of Paul and what he went through what he's talking to, so you can see whether you want to follow somebody or not. It says, let a man so count of himself of the ministers of Christ. So, you know, if we're ministers of Christ, P- Paul was ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, obviously, rightly dividing the word, we know there are seven mysteries, I believe. You know, it could be eight or seven or eight mysteries, depending on what you look at. And he knew those. So a minister would know those things. It says, moreover, found faithful. You look at this chapter here, there are characteristics of a minister, doctrinally, spiritually. So it says, follow someone. Don't follow them because they're good looking or charismatic. You follow them because they're following the word of God and understand it. So there you are. I mean, you look at the, you know, we go to a church. We like, you know, my brother Hoffman obviously would be here, and we kind of look at him as a leadership. People do look at leadership. And you know what, though? Who does he have? Well, you look at his commentary Bible, look at the folks he gives credit to. He gives a lot of people there that generally were pretty good at doctrinally standpoints, you know. So he tells you, hey, here's who I learned from. You know, I mean, you know, he's not looking at Benny Hinn and all these people here that, you know, man, I want to give this couple kind of day, and Joyce Myers and all these people. He has some folks that he's learned from and now is trying to, you know, teach us, and he has his personality and things like that. So it's real important that it's not bad following a man as long as you're following the Lord. And the Lord tells you that there. It says, be followers of me. Okay? So it's very important that you can follow somebody. And that takes some humility. Because a lot of times the men want to be in charge. We have that thing. But don't, hey, I'm going to follow somebody. Hey, I understand authority. It's good to understand authority. It's good to get under somebody authority. You know, it's good just, you know your role. Get under some authority. I get that. And that makes it easier for a leader to be able to dictate or to present truths, because as folks willing to follow them. We really are in a military era here, you know, we're soldiers. And honestly, one thing you learn about, if you've been in the military, how folks have been here, is you earn orders and you learn ranks and you want to question things. Go here? Well, I don't think so. Go over here. I'm going to go over here. That's not good. You go where you said you're going to go. So we have marching orders here, you know. I like the word charges. We're given charges. You know, the word charge appears, I think, 75 times. I charge ye. These are charges, you know. So very, very important to get that thing, okay? Now, last one I'll cover here. And then I'm taking a break. In 2 weeks, next 2 weeks, Lord willing, you're going to have Brother Frank here. He'll get back on his doctrine points, and I'll come back here on some B's. Some good ones coming up, folks. Some real good ones here. Hope you learn it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always, adjectives, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this is the great chapter what? Of the resurrection chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. I mean, you look at this chapter here. This is a great doctrinal chapter for believers, because we can see here what the Lord has done for us. I mean, not about it. I mean, he's the first fruits resurrected, but we're going to have this this body that's wearing out. We pray for our bodies to get older. You know, one number one thing seniors talk about is, you know, what doctors have been to, what ailments. All right. I'm there like, oh man, this, I mean, you know why? Hey, our bodies, folks, we're getting a new one. I'm looking forward to that. Think about that. Just think about that alone. Just that alone is a great deal. But we're going to have a renewed minds, perfect spirits. This chapter here, if you read the chapter, in the end of the chapter, it says, be, brethren, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, because of what the Lord's going to do for us. You know what, though? I mean, that's kind of nice. Hey, I know where my future is. And after going through all that, you can see literally why you want to be steadfast, unmovable, always, always. This is without exception. Not without distinction, without exception, always. Remember, I covered without exception and without distinction. Well, you know, you don't have to do that when you're over here with the boys who aren't saved. No. Always, without exception. Keep that in mind. That's very important. That's a without exception word there. And the work of the Lord. Again, there's that application of, right? You got to have the application of what you read. Because if there's no application, you have in the mind, but it hasn't yet settled down in your heart, and it hasn't yet prone out to action. And you know why you do it? Not to please your pastor or your neighbor, wife. You please the Lord. He knows the whole deal. I mean, he can't, who are you kidding? He knows your whole situation. My dad said this here, I don't know if biblical, probably is, I'm sure it is. You can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool all people all the time. And certainly can't fool the Lord. You know, eventually, if you're doing something that ain't right, someone will eventually smell you out. Amen? I mean, right? I mean, I hope you get that. That's a pretty thing. But my dad taught me that, and the biblical principle. So this 1 Corinthians 15:58 is, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So I want to close on that one. What we covered so far, and I'm just flying by them because there's so many this year. I call them stung by bees. These got to be, when you get hit by them, understand these things, they'll move you. They are fruitful, courageous, always mindful, saved, soul winning, perfect. Be understanding, be wise, be harmless, you know, as servants, wise as eyes. Be merciful, be transform the mind. These are things that the Lord wants you to be as you grow and as you become mature. Salvation's easy. I mean, I know we're always trying to get people to see that, but salvation's the easy part. That's all of God's part, right? That's all God's part. It's the book is written here for growth, right? I mean, it's not a big book. Salvation is easy. A couple of verses, here you go. Understanding some things, you're saved. But this is written for growth. That's why you got to heed to it. It's written for our growth. That we have a relationship. It's a relational thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. God and Jesus Christ are more interested in your relationship than anything else. Look at how a little bit there is on creation. That's nice. But look at how I got building a temple, all chapters on there. Because you're looking into the relational thing. That's where it separates the men from the boys. The relationship you have, and how you understand it, is by being in the Word of God. Understanding it, and then you understand the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we understand it, we become, an unconscious incompetent. You know what to do is right when you think about it, right? See, in anything in life, the lowest place to be is an unconscious incompetent. That's when you even know what you don't know, right? That's the best spot to be in. I don't even know what I don't know. That's the best spot to be in, right? And the ultimate spot to be is I'm an unconscious competent. I know what to do before I even do it. People that have a craft for a while, whether they be in a trade, they can look something right away, know how to fix it already, right? I know how to fix it already. Because why? Because you're unconscious and competent. You already know. Someone's telling you a problem about something, and you know how to fix it already, right? Because you've done this so much, where a young guy goes, well, let me think about this here, and you already got it figured out. That's the same level the Lord wants you in maturity of the Word of God. And that's why being stung by these bees will get you there. Okay? Get that, folks? Okay. All right. Questions or comments or anything? We'll pick this up in a couple weeks. Some good ones, I think, that are really applied today. So let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity just to open up your word. And these things are sometimes pretty simple. But you know what, though? The simple things in life are easy to enjoy and to digest. I don't need any heavy-duty things sometimes. Just some things that you know are true. And you put for us, for our understanding and your edification, Father. So we just pray, Lord, that people would heed these and think about them and apply them to their lives, that they're walk with you would be closer. And I pray, Lord, that you be glorified in these matters. So we thank you very much. Pray for Brother Hoffman as he gets here. He may be here now. And I pray, Lord, you give him a great amount of wisdom and open up the word of God and understanding to us, Father. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.